The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, young people, for that. Take your Bible, please, and go to the book of Matthew one more time and look at Matthew chapter 9. Book of Matthew chapter 9. Look now, if you will, in verses 36 through 38. Now, we read a moment ago verse 38. We're going to look at now verse 36 through 38. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved, the Bible says, with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I want to speak this morning on becoming better at sharing the gospel. Becoming better at sharing the gospel. We have many times for a person to be able to join our church family here, to be able to go out and to be able to share the gospel. We come together during these specific times collectively. Sometimes there will be a group of 5. Sometimes there will be a group of 40. Sometimes there will be a group of 140 or 150 that will go out at these various times to share the gospel. Last time we checked, it was about 220 to 230 people that go out on a weekly basis to share the gospel, not counting anybody twice, just individuals going out to give the gospel out to people. Some people come out on Thursday morning at 9:45 a.m. to our Joy Club, which is a ladies' club that's headed up, of course, by Mrs. Acosta and also Mrs. Palmore Sr. Some come out to be with our teenagers, and they go on teen soul winning at 6:30 p.m. every Thursday night. And then some come out at 7 o'clock for our adult soul winning time on Thursday night as well. Others come out for the soul winning rally. That's the one that you hear so often about. And we'll average anywhere between 120 during the summertime to 180 during the fall seasons that will come on a Saturday morning at soul winning time at 10 o'clock. Others come at 10:30, and they will gather with our Spanish soul winning department, and they will go out with the Spanish soul winning department at 10:30. Others will come at 10:30, and they'll go out with a new club that we have called the Rose Club. And that's also a ladies' soul winning club headed up by Mrs. Baldivis, and they go out at 10:30. Others will come on Sunday afternoon, and they will go out with our men's soul winning time at 2:30. Then a brand new, exciting program that was just started recently is our America for Christ ministry under Brother Walters that goes out every Saturday afternoon from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and reaching people with the gospel. So there's many, many opportunities to be able to join up with a group and to be able to share the gospel with people that need to understand who Jesus Christ is and being the Savior of the world, the only one that can redeem them, whereby they can go to heaven through His shed blood. And so we're very serious about getting out the gospel. We have many bus routes that we run. And you come up on the church parking lot, you'll see, I guess maybe 11 buses that are sitting back there now, most of which we do run. And those buses are back there to be able to pick up people so that they can come to church and hear not only how to be saved, but how to live for Christ as a Christian. And so we're very, very much into getting out the gospel. We support missionaries, upward to 60. Different missionary families that we support, and some of them very heavily that are sent directly out from our ministry, because we believe the gospel is very, very important. So what is it that we could do as individuals to do a better job in getting out the gospel? Over in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore, it says that we're scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. So, may I say, every creature needs a preacher. Everybody needs to be able to hear the gospel message. And by the way, we ought to be so soul conscious that it's easy for us. I often say we ought to carry tracts with us and pass them out like running water, like running water, because the gospel is so very, very important to make sure that people have a clear, precise understanding of the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's many ways to be able to be used of God in these last days in which we live to make sure that a lost and dying world hears the gospel of Christ. And let me give you some ideas how you could be better used at getting out the gospel. Statement number one, see people as souls. See people as souls. When you see a person, it's not just flesh and blood, but one day their soul will continue somewhere. Either that soul will continue in the pit of hell, being burning for all eternity, or that soul will one day be in heaven because they received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, let's be clear that the gospel is not somebody receiving Christ and being baptized. No. A matter of fact, even Paul said that, I thank God I baptized none of you. And so he was thankful that he didn't baptize certain people. So we know him being who he was, that that was not a part of the gospel because he wanted people to get the gospel. However, we also know that in the Bible describes the gospel specifically. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it was not for Jesus Christ, you and I would have no hope. But because Jesus Christ did come, did die on the cross, did shed his blood, did go to the grave and raise victorious over sin, death, and the devil, can I tell you, we have a great hope, and our great hope is Jesus Christ. So there's not two ways to heaven. There's not three ways to heaven. There's not four ways to heaven. There's not five ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's not Jesus Christ and being baptized. It's not Jesus Christ and being good. It's not Jesus Christ and going to church. It's not Jesus Christ and turning over a new leaf every January 1st. It's not Jesus Christ and being, if you would please, kind to your neighbor. It's not Jesus Christ and reading your Bible through once a year. It's not Jesus Christ and giving so much money to a religious institution. It is Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, let me help you. Either you have him or you don't. Either you have him or you don't. Well, somebody said, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. I feel sorry for you. My Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given us, eternal life. So we have a record book, and that record book tells us how to be able to go to heaven. We don't go to heaven because we're religious. We don't go to heaven because we keep the Ten Commandments. We don't go to heaven because we keep the seven sacraments. We don't go to heaven because we live in a refined neighborhood. We don't go to heaven because we drive a nice car. We don't go to heaven because we have a religious studiology about us. We go to heaven simply because there is one Savior of the world, and we came to an understanding that as a sinner, we needed that Savior, and we bowed our heart, and we received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, let me help you. I would not join up with a church that did not have a burden for seeing people saved. I wouldn't join a church that would not run a bus route. I would not join a church that did not have a preacher that would get up and to preach the Bible and to tell people, thus saith the Lord. We have a lot of cowards that go to the pulpit nowadays, and they want to be somebody that's well received among the public crowd. Can I tell you, it ought not to be a preacher that wants to be well received among the public crowd, but wants to be well received among the King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the religious crowd says. It does matter what the Bible says. It does not matter what the religious crowd believes. It does matter what God tells us to believe. And we understand this, that we, if we're going to have a burden for souls that's going to increase, we ought to decide. And by the way, it doesn't matter if they're tall or short. It doesn't matter if they're fat or skinny. It doesn't matter if they're intelligent or ignorant. It doesn't matter if they're white or black or yellow or some other color. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter if they're male or female or confused. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they live in a nice neighborhood. It does not matter if they live in a poor neighborhood. By the way, Parkside Baptist Church is known for reaching people with the gospel. And we don't classify you. We don't look at the pigment of your skin and say you're not welcome here. We don't look at the caliber of your bank account and say you don't fit here. No, we're here to get get the gospel out to the ends of the earth, and that's what we're going to do. And we let God build the church of God. But I'm going to tell you this morning, that will not happen if you just sit in your lazy boy recliner rocking chair and do nothing. You're supposed to be involved. You're supposed to be a soul winner. You're supposed to be a gospel witness. You're supposed to give out gospel tracts. You're supposed to be the one that reaches out. There's people that you can reach that I'll never see. There's people that you can reach that the staff will never see. There's people that you can give the gospel to that would never receive it from one of these fellas because they don't like the way they look. So I'm saying, what do we do? Here's what we do. We see people as souls. The Bible says, Jesus here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible says that he saw the multitudes and was moved. He saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion on them. He saw them. He saw them. So you look for people. You look for people and you see them as souls. You look at people as souls. Every man, every boy, every lady, every girl in this room will spend eternity somewhere. Your neighbor will spend eternity somewhere. When you go to the grocery store and you check out by way of the cashier, that cashier is going to spend eternity somewhere. When you go to pump gas and you go in at the filling station, the gas station, or whatever you call it, and you go in there to pay for your gas, can I tell you, that person that you come into contact with is going to spend eternity somewhere. When you go to the doctor's office and you're met by a receptionist, that receptionist is going to spend eternity somewhere. When you go back to see the doctor and a nursing attendant comes in to be able to finish out your record and to be able to do some general analysis of your blood pressure and things of that nature, that person is going to spend eternity somewhere. When you finally get to the doctor later in the day, 5 or 6 hours later, that doctor is going to spend eternity somewhere. Where? When you go to the dentist, though you might not like the dentist, that dentist is going to spend eternity somewhere. When you go to the lawyer and you might not like the lawyer, that lawyer is going to spend eternity somewhere. Hey, shame on us if we know how to give the gospel, but we spend time complaining and bellyaching and squirming and getting upset and not giving people the gospel. Did you know that most people that give preachers trouble in churches are non-caring gospel givers? They're not soul winners. They don't give the gospel. And so they'll bellyache about this, and they'll bellyache about that, and they'll bellyache about this, and we don't like the color of the lights, and we don't like the where the chair sits, and we don't like the way that staff person combed their hair, and oh, you can tell that they ate something for breakfast, and boy, do they stink, and we complain about so much. Can I tell you, the way to enjoy church is get your eyes off everybody else and put your eyes on Christ and be able to get in involved and sharing the gospel and helping somebody to come to know Christ as Savior. And can I tell you, God will change your life. Amen. Statement number one, see people as souls. So look at people as souls, statement number one. Statement number two, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. You say, well, I tell you what, God can't use me because God's not giving me any opportunities. Can I tell you, friend, God gives you more opportunities than you can shake a stick at. Look for opportunities. Look for ways. Look for ways. Now, by the way, I use gospel tracts all the time. I like them. I like them. I like them. I don't know who was the first one to ever wrote one. I have no idea. But I do know this. I'm glad they came about. I like gospel tracts, and I'll pass them out. I pass them out, I'm telling you, almost everywhere I go, I'll grab me a hand of gospel tracts, and I'll take them with me, and I'll pass them out. I'll give them to people. Dear lady over here came, I believe, we met yesterday, is that right? Is that right? Did we meet yesterday? I think so. Yeah, and so just pass them out. Just pass them out. And Carlos came this morning. I went by and picked him up, and he got out of bed. Praise God for Carlos. And he got out of bed, came this morning. All right, and just pass them out. Talk to people. Give people an opportunity, if you will, to be able. I like, because we're a team. I like this. Please don't get, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. You know, you go out soul winning, and you don't lead somebody to Christ. Or you go out and you give somebody the gospel, and they're rude to you. And you say, oh, wait, I tell you what, I'm not being greatly used of God. No, you do your part. The Holy Spirit does the convicting, the Holy Spirit does the convincing, and the Holy Spirit does the converting. But you need to be available. See, you give out a gospel card, a gospel tract. You give out that Bible tract. You talk to somebody about Christ. If given the opportunity to be able to show them their need on Thursday or on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right now, I'm going through and how to approach people and how to share the gospel and how to share assurance of salvation, how to talk to them about following the Lord and Scripture of Believers' Baptism and how to do those things. Now I'll be calling upon different ones that I've been soul winning with. Now, I believe does an excellent job in presenting the gospel, and I'm going to have them to come up here, and they'll sit in the chair, and they'll show how they lead somebody to Christ. Now, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm trying to help people to see that people have souls, and I'm trying to help people to look and to realize that there's many golden opportunities out there, many golden opportunities out there to be able to share the gospel of Christ. You say, why is it important? Because if a person does not receive Jesus Christ as Savior, when they die, they'll go to a devil's hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not even prepared for them, but they'll burn for all eternity. And can I tell you, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. You said, but preacher, I'm a deep Bible studier, but are you a soul winner? But preacher, I'm a prayer warrior, but are you a soul winner? Preacher, I'm a faithful church attender, but are you a soul winner? Preacher, I'm a good daddy, but are you a soul winner? Preacher, I'm a good mama, but are you a soul winner? Preacher, I'm a good person that lives in the neighborhood, but have you once in your day, took a Bible, showed somebody how to be saved? Have you showed your neighbor? Have you showed your friend? Have you showed your brother? Have you showed your sister? Have you showed your mother? Have you showed your daddy? Have you showed your uncle? Have you showed your aunt? Have you showed your grandmother? Have you showed your grandfather? You say, but preacher, I don't know how. You take a gospel tract, turn it over, read it to them. You pray that God uses it. Get yourself a burden for other people. I'm saying look at people as souls. Statement number one. Statement number two, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. I was preaching over in Bangkok, Thailand. We were planning on going into the schools. The schools, by the way, even the public schools, are run by the Buddhist priest. You cannot get in a school unless the Buddhist priest agrees that you could come into the school. And so it was shut down. They shut it down. We've been doing it for years, but they shut it down on us. I turned to Brother John Hong, the national pastor. That's a member of our church, by the way. And a great, great soul winner. And I turned to Brother John Hong and I said, look, we've only got 4 days. I didn't come here just to go out soul winning on a street. I want to reach the masses. Get me in a place where we can talk to the masses. He said, well, I know one place we can go. He said, it's an AIDS colony. He said, it's part of a Buddhist temple, but it's an AIDS hospital. And he said, I've never been anything like this for my life. When we walked on the campus of that AIDS Buddhist temple, the first thing you walked to before you went to the hospital was what they called the Museum of the Dead. People that died of AIDS, that they had preserved their body, and it was called the Museum of the Dead. We had to walk through the Museum of the Dead in order to get to the hospital. Boy, that wasn't encouraging. I looked at those corpses that was in that hospital being preserved. Watch me now. Listen to me. And I thought, that person is burning somewhere in eternity. They're burning in hell somewhere. Or they're in heaven. And boy, can I tell you, when I went in that hospital and started to witness to these people, I had a burning desire for them to get saved. Why? Because I knew that the next step for them was going to be the museum. Can I tell you, look for opportunities. We were over in Cambodia one time, and I heard that these people, they lived in these factories. I mean, they lived in these metal buildings, these factories. And I said, hey, let's go in the factories. Oh, they said, preacher, they won't listen to you in the factories. Not the factory, but where they stayed in these metal buildings, and they would sleep on these wooden things, that pallets almost, up off the ground. And I said, well, let's go in there and try. Let's go try. So we always travel with big signs, you know, poster-type things. And I had an interpreter that would speak the Khmer language. And we went into these factories. Boy, I asked people if I could stand up on their beds. They said yes. I stood up on their beds and I started shouting as loud as I could, "Come here, come here." You know, and boy, they looked at this strange looking white man with a long nose. And that probably is what drew them. And boy, they came over as a crowd. And I pulled one of the guys up that was my interpreter for that day. And he stood beside me. And boy, I preached my lungs out. And I watched them come by the hundreds receiving Christ. So many got saved that we ran corn trucks that night. And we had 3 corn trucks that we filled up just by men and women that worked in the factories. Amen. And they came to the meeting that night, and we baptized hundreds that week. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying that you look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. Oh, you said, "Preacher, I can't go to Thailand and witness there in the temples. And I can't go to Cambodia and witness there in the factories. And I can't go to the Philippines and witness there in the schools and in the colleges. And I can't go over to Nigeria with you and go to the villages and to witness to those people over there." Well, yeah, but what about here? Amen. What about that neighbor? Amen. What about the people that you work with? What about the people that work for you? What about the people you give service to? See, sometimes I think here's what we do. We put our niceness in front of our Christianity. Instead of putting our Christianity aligning up parallel with our niceness. I mean, yeah, I don't want to witness to them, preacher. I mean, after all, they might not receive it, but at least they heard it. At least they heard it. By the way, what true friend wants another friend to die and burn in hell? What true friend wants a mama to die and burn in hell? What true love friend wants a daddy or a grandfather or a grandmother to die and burn in hell? Is hell real? Is it real? Or is it a figment of the imagination? I declare unto you this hour that hell is real, and we ought to do everything we can to get the gospel out. Why? Because somebody is going to perish, and that which is the fires of hell, and you can do something about it. I'm saying you look at people as souls. Statement number 1. Statement number 2, look at for opportunities. Statement number 3, look at relationships that you're building. Look at relationships that you're building. You know, wonderful opportunity that you have in building relationship with other people to bring them to the understanding of who Christ is. Some of you have relatives. You've never once given them a gospel track, but you've already got a relationship, see? You know, some of you have people that work for you. Some of you have hundreds of people that sit in here, and you're a boss over hundreds of people, and they work for you. Others are employed by other people, and you work for them in their firm, or you work for them at the hospital, or you work for them at the law office, or you work for them at the company. You work for them, or you're in a school somewhere, sitting beside someone at a university and being educated. I'm saying this, look at the relationships that you're building. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41-42, the Bible says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers." Now, wait a minute, before they could continue, they had to be reached. But they were able to be reached because they were there. It was Andrew that found Peter over in John chapter 1 and verse 41. At first he findeth his brother Peter. But later on it was Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. See, you never know who you're going to reach. You don't have a clue what that person might do for Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. How is it that you and I could become better in sharing the gospel? Statement number 1, look at people as souls. Statement number 2, look for opportunities. Statement number 3, look at the relationships that you're building. Statement number 4, look for every prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I'm done. Look for every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. If you're saved, there's a Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of you. Yes. All right, now wait a minute. You ever do this? You ever go up to somebody and you're in a hurry and the Holy Spirit of God says, "Okay, give them that." All right? And you walk away and you feel bad about it. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Now wait a minute. Now I'm saying this. Look for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You ever see somebody at the church meeting, maybe a tent meeting? You ever see somebody at a gospel tent meeting, and all of a sudden they raise their hand that they need Christ. I need Christ. I need Christ. It's almost like they're trying to wave somebody down. Help, help, help. I need Christ. And you know deep down in your heart that you saw it, probably the only one that saw it. It wouldn't take much. It wouldn't take much to be able to go up to someone and say, hey, I saw you. Raise your hand. And I sure do care. And do you need Christ? Oh, hey, look, I don't know much. I really don't. But I think I can get you some help. I do. Come here, let me get you some help. Hey, can you help him? You know how to help somebody? You look like you need help, but you know how to help somebody. And all right, now wait. All right, now what am I saying? I'm saying you can always find somebody. See, you notice that it was Andrew that went to Peter and brought Peter to Christ. He said, come see. Come see. I don't remember reading in there where Andrew gave him the gospel. I don't remember reading that anywhere in the scriptures. All I saw, and he would represent Christ right there, and here's Andrew over here, and here's Peter sitting right down there. And Andrew receives the Lord, and he goes over to Peter, and he says, hey, come see. You need to come see. Come see. Brought him over there and said, see? That wasn't hard. Hey, by the way, we could do that at church. You know that? Yeah. I promise you, when somebody comes to church, this church is full of people that care about people. Amen. This church will preach the gospel. This church is all about helping people to settle the question marks in their heart of uncertainty as to whether or not they'll spend eternity in heaven. That's what this church is about. All right? And so, wouldn't it be good if we just got on fire and said we are? Wouldn't it be good if we said, hey, come see, come see. Hey, come see, come see, come see. Oh, come see, come see, come see, come see. Oh, come see. You say, oh, you sound like a Chinaman. Oh, come see, come see, come see. Oh, come see, come see. All right, now wait. And you bring them over to that which is the Savior. Amen. Wouldn't that be good?
Amen.
Then all of a sudden, go sit, if you will. All of a sudden, these guys get saved. Watch this. These guys get saved. They receive Christ as Savior. Let's say they're middle-aged men, and some of them's going to go off and do this in their profession, and some's going to do this in their profession, and some's going to do this in their profession, and some's going to do this in their profession. Some of them's going to get married, and some of them's going to stay single all the days of their life. One of them's going to get married. Others going to stay single all the days of their life. And all right, now watch this. And then all of a sudden, they don't lose it. And they want to see somebody else get saved. And so he goes and he gets someone. And get someone. And they're all picking the young ones. Old people get saved too, you know. And there you go. Get an old one. Brother Feinstein, what is he calling you? Now, come up here. Would you come up here? Come up here. Now watch this. Watch. Isn't this the way it works? You know, we don't have to know much. All we got to do is bring them to the Savior. That's all we got to do. You know, and we can get Spanish people. We can get old men. We can get different ones. It's African-American people and Caucasian people, people with blonde hair and people with brown eyeballs and people with strange-looking noses. We can do it all. All right, one more illustration. Ready? I'm done. Here it is. And we just get excited about it. We don't know much. You don't have to know much. All you've got to do is have a burden in your heart because you don't want your neighbor to die and burn in hell. That's it. What more do you need? You know, but some of us, we're not there anymore. We used to be there. Then we got caught up in the videos. Then we got caught up in the Facebooking. Then we got caught up in watching movies. Then we got caught up in eating more and more and more. Then we got caught up in reading. All right, wait a minute. But if somebody would just get a burden for their neighborhood, somebody would just get a burden for their neighborhood, and we all go get somebody. Just go ahead and get one. It'd be nice for a woman to get saved, by the way. And go get someone. Just one more time. That's it. Bring them back to the front, and I'll quit with you. All right, now watch this, if you will. And this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. You know, boy, you know, he just spread out all over the place. Good, he got his wife. I'm glad he cares for his wife. And looky here, I got one too. I got a bald one. Okay, now watch this, if you will. All right, now watch. I'm saying, look, can I tell you something? What is going to change America? What is going to change America? It's not necessarily who you put in the White House. I believe it is who you put in the church house. And I believe that the Holy Ghost can get a hold of them. And I believe that God can change a man from the inside out. And I believe that man can go home a different man. I believe a wife beater could get saved. I believe a drug addict could get saved. I believe a rich man could get saved. I believe a poor man could get saved. I believe a black man could get saved. I believe a white man could get saved. I believe a brown man could get saved. I believe a yellow man could get saved. I believe a male could get saved. I believe a female could get saved. I believe a confused person could get saved. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you do your part. Now stay with me. Any part you do is better than not doing. Any part you do is better than not doing. Some of you college students that come, you're in our Bible college, and you've been here a while. Can I tell you, listen, don't just become come here and be somebody that just wants to learn the Word of God. We got great Bible college teachers here. I believe the best in the land. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not worth a plug niggle if you don't get out and tell somebody about Christ. I mean, what about that poor little kid who's on the bus route? What about that poor one, if you will, that you'll sit and they're eating? Might be their last meal as you sit across the restaurant. You say, preacher, you're painting an awful lot of pictures because I'm trying to get you to get a burden for somebody. It's not all about you. It's about Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saying you can be used of God. You can be. It doesn't matter what age you are, male, female. Doesn't matter. God could use you. God could use you. Thank you. Be seated, if you will, and I'll close. Andrew findeth Peter. Peter findeth Christ. He finds Christ, and when he does, 15 days after he had committed heinous sin, backslidden, but got right with God, preached on the day of Pentecost. The Bible talks and expressly talks about one more, and I'll close. Over in Acts chapter 8, here you'll see that there's Philip. Philip is finding himself an Ethiopian man. This Ethiopian man represented Candace, the queen. Coming from Ethiopia, he was the man that guarded and kept the books of the treasury. He had already been to Jerusalem, came away empty, went to a religious synagogue, came away empty. But yet, here he is in the Gaza desert. He finds himself there, still searching. He opens a scroll, and as he opens the scroll, he begins to read Isaiah 53. And as he begins to read Isaiah 53, God had prompted Philip, probably days prior to that, to go to the Gaza Strip. He didn't understand why. He was having good revival. Things were taking place, but he obeyed God, and he went. And all of a sudden, he sees a man sitting in a chariot. He runs up beside that man. That man's reading Isaiah chapter 53, and he says, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, lest some man guide me? And he took the Bible says, and he preached on him Jesus. And that Ethiopian eunuch that was very wealthy and was in an astute position, bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. And that day, his world changed forever. And here's my conclusion. Who is it in your life that God could use you to change their world forever? Who is it? Who is it that God could use you just by passing out a card that changes their life? I could give you, I'm sure, as you know, I could give you hundreds of illustrations of how God uses a man, God uses a woman, God uses a boy, God uses a girl to be able to give the gospel, and somebody's life is changed forever simply because of the fact that they did a better job in sharing the gospel. Could you do a better job?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.